Since 2009, our United Way of Washtenaw County has honored a Woman of the Year at Power of the Purse, an event designed to showcase the enormous impact women have on our community and a way to raise funds to promote women's self-success and self-sufficiency. This year's Woman of the Year has shown grace, courage, and extraordinary leadership under fire during the COVID-19 pandemic. She is Jimena Lovelock, Health Officer for our Washtenaw County Health Department. Jimena, congratulations on this well-deserved honor.
Thank you so much, Lucianne. It really, I was so touched last night at last night's event, and so honored to be recognized in this way, especially during what has been just such challenging times for all of us. So thank you so much.
Let's talk about that. Take me back to the start of the pandemic in early 2020. You had only been on board as the new leader at Washtenaw County Health for 5 months. When and how did you realize that we had a public health crisis underway?
Yeah, well, we started certainly learning about it as the rest of the world did when first cases were identified in China and then eventually in our country when we had our first cases. So we started kind of learning about COVID, what there was at least to know about COVID at the time. And we started preparing, in early 2020. And it wasn't until March 12th that we had our first cases in Washtenaw County. We had two cases that were identified the same day. But there was still a lot of planning that we were doing. And early on, there were travelers, particularly that were returning, that were Washtenaw County residents, that were returning, that were exhibiting symptoms, and we had to facilitate that testing. And at that time, testing was so limited, and it wasn't even done locally. It wasn't done like at a testing site, like what we have now, community testing sites. It wasn't done at the state. We had to send samples to CDC and wait on pins and needles for those test results, just like, of course, the individuals who were ill, who were exhibiting symptoms. They waited also, as I know, on pins and needles to get those results as we facilitated that and worked with healthcare providers. So it was really just such an unknown at that time in terms of how this was going to develop, what we were going to see locally, what impact it would have locally. And then, of course, after those first few cases were identified, unfortunately, the number of cases just continued to grow and grow.
You know, we've seen public health types of events come in the past with bird flu and other types of things, but never, at least in this country, have they gotten to the point in recent history of what actually happened with COVID-19. So was there a moment when you said, just looking either at the numbers or how this was happening, you mentioned the travelers, was there a point where you said, we have really got to mobilize with this. This doesn't look good.
Yeah, absolutely. We were preparing along with the state health department, working closely in coordination with other healthcare providers to prepare for that. And of course, this is what we in public health, when we talk about emergency preparedness, this is what we're always we always need to be prepared for this, whether it's a significant outbreak, a pandemic in this case, some sort of natural disaster. This is where we have our emergency operations systems in the county. And of course, public health has a vital role to play in emergency preparedness. So we have plans and we have procedures that we put in place in a kind of emergency situation. We quickly reorganized our health department to our more emergency response structure. We redirected staff and took them away from their regular roles to help prepare and respond to COVID. And of course, this was also initially during a time when most of the state was shut down. And so as people who could stayed home, we continued to work and prepare and respond as quickly as we could.
What was that like for the rest of us? We're at home, many of us doing our jobs from home. I was broadcasting from home in early March, Cumulus Radio was excellent as sending everyone home and taking this very seriously. There were still a lot of question marks, though. People didn't really know if all of this was going to be that necessary. And we were lucky. We were at home. We were safe for the most part. And you're going to work every day to try to keep the rest of us safe. What is that dynamic like for you and your staff?
Well, certainly a situation that I think none of us had ever been in. We were, so concerned about not just all of our residents that really are, you know, kind of in public health. All of our residents are our patients in a way, because in public health, we focus on the whole community. But we knew that there were many people who had to continue working, who had to continue to be in person, potentially exposing themselves and their loved ones. And so it was so important that we were able to learn quickly in terms of information that had to be shared with the public, helping people understand how to stay safe, putting measures in place that particularly protected our essential workers that continued to have to work in person. And I think also understanding that the information was quickly changing. And so how could we share that information in a way that was broadly accessible, that was available in multiple languages, and that people could find at a time when we weren't doing our regular services. We weren't seeing people in the community the way we normally would, because everyone was, you know, trying to stay home or at least social distance, trying to avoid others to protect themselves. And so it was definitely an incredible lift for the health department. But I think we worked together to ensure that we were doing everything possible to keep people informed. And also for those people early on who had COVID, making sure that we were doing the case investigation and contact tracing that was so important at that early stage. And oftentimes we had people that were at home and our nurses were checking in on them on a regular basis every day, ensuring that if their symptoms worsened, they knew to go to the hospital. And so really the level of support that our nurses and our staff provided to individual community members was ongoing also throughout that time.
It's interesting, Jimena, that prior to your work with the county, you had done a lot of work with HIV and AIDS. You had served as the president and CEO of the HIV AIDS Resource Center in Ypsilanti for 15 years. You had been the Washtenaw County Board of Health and Vice President of Community Research and Innovation for Unified HIV Health and Beyond. When HIV and AIDS came on the forefront in the early 80s here in our community, there was a lot we didn't know also, just like COVID-19, but there was a lot of misinformation. And I think that it took a long time for people to understand that these weren't pariahs, that we didn't have to keep people at bay who had HIV. COVID was something a little bit different, because we were ever so fearful also of touching people, of being in contact with them, but there was very good reason for that. And did we know that right away with COVID-19? And given the fact that you had had this experience with HIV/AIDS and the work you did in that community, where something turned out to be a little bit different than we had originally thought with that, many of us were hoping and praying that COVID-19 wouldn't be as serious as it turned out, or as something that you could get so easily. So I'm just wondering if you can contrast kind of those two scenarios that you've both worked in.
Yeah, there were parallels. I think that, as I mentioned, just when you have a new virus, a new illness, and you're learning as you're trying to help others learn how to protect themselves and learn about the illness or the virus, it's really challenging to ensure that information is getting out as quickly as possible to people who need it, but also that it's accurate information, and also in information that's available to a broad array of community members. I think it's also been, we've seen how challenging it's been as well with COVID. This has happened much more quickly than I think with HIV, but the information changed as we learned more. And I know that the public has gotten very frustrated by the changing recommendations and guidance, but that's because it was new and we were learning as we were going along. And so that guidance had to change. And very similarly with HIV early on, it wasn't really clear how HIV was transmitted, how you could protect yourself. What were some of the implications in terms of, treatment outlook, especially early on when treatment was really, non-existent. In my first job, I was living in Boston and working for the state health department in Massachusetts, and I was an HIV test counselor. And at that time, when we had to tell people that they had tested positive for HIV, there was no treatment. There was no real treatment available for people. And I think, thank goodness, it has changed so much. We now know not only is treatment available, but we know that if people are getting treatment, if they have an undetectable viral load, then the chances for them to transmit it to others is almost none. So that is incredibly important. And so those are advances that were made over years as we learned, as research was done and treatments were developed. Things have developed really quickly with COVID. We certainly understand now that not only do we have a vaccine that can prevent serious illness, and unfortunately there's no vaccine or cure for HIV, but we also have new treatments that have been developed. We have not only monoclonal antibody therapies, we have antiviral medications that are now available. And that will continue to, the treatments will continue to be developed, vaccines will continue to be developed and improved. So it is, I've often thought about the parallels. Of course, I think the difference is certainly that, while it has improved, there's still an incredible amount of stigma that many people living with HIV continue to experience, and also, different forms of discrimination. And so I think it's really important that we think about equity, and we think about how sometimes when we have something like HIV that disproportionately impacts people of color, members of the LGBTQ community, who already are often marginalized in our society, what we need to do to ensure that there is an equitable approach and response and access to care. And very similarly, those are important lessons I learned during my work in HIV that I think have been really important with COVID as well.
And you've done a great job with that, I think, as well during COVID, because you are the first Latinx and first bilingual health officer for Washtenaw County Health Department. And I know you were able to utilize that part of your background in a profound way, I think, to reach areas of our population here in Washtenaw County to ensure that everyone, no matter what their language was or their situation was, had the information available to make the decisions they needed to make for COVID-19.
Yeah, that was a really important part of our communication strategy. And I was able to, we started doing videos to help keep people updated. And I was able to do those in English and Spanish. And we're also very fortunate that our medical director also speaks Spanish. And so we were able to provide that direct information and communication in Spanish, share those videos, also doing Facebook Live events in Spanish. And of course, all of that in terms of our community outreach efforts and communication and messaging, we also rely very heavily on community partners that have important ties to those communities as well, and who can share that message and be trusted messengers themselves. So certainly not just the work of the health department, but really partnership with many, many other community organizations and groups.
We're talking with our health officer for the Washtenaw County Health Department, Jimena Loveluck, and you're listening to Ann Arbor's Talk Station 1290 WLBY. In the public arena, there are still varying views on how the crisis has been handled by our politicians. You were very much in the middle of that storm. What did that feel like to know that there were people who didn't agree with many of these public health decisions? And how did you handle that when you're trying so hard to work on behalf of our community to keep the community safe?
Well, I have to say that it's been very distressing to see, as you can imagine, my public health colleagues being attacked, and some of them leaving their jobs because of the difficulty that they've had in responding to COVID, and how the public has responded to some of the actions they've taken. I think that in Washtenaw County, I appreciate very much that we have a lot of support from our county leadership to follow the science and really trust that we as public health professionals and experts can help guide the county and give the guidance to our community members and residents about what is can be done to protect themselves and protect their loved ones. And in some cases, that meant using some of the authority that I have as the health officer that's part of the Michigan Public Health Code. And I know that that has been used in other parts of the state and certainly in other states across the country. And sometimes it's difficult for the public to understand or to support those kinds of decisions. But I think when we're in a public health emergency, our responsibility is to use that authority, obviously very judiciously, very carefully, but use it when it's needed to protect the public from a very serious pandemic like COVID-19, for example.
Were you able to do that before the state sort of abdicated its role and left it up to the individual counties to determine how they handled their situation? Because the numbers were different from county to county, obviously. But were you able to leverage your role and what you had the authority to do while the state was doing that as well? Or did that happen afterwards?
It actually happened, it's almost the anniversary, it was around St. Patrick's Day when in 2020, when I issued my first orders, and those were orders around making sure, like I mentioned earlier, that essential workers, other workers that had to go to work in person, their employers were taking precautions to ensure their safety, as well as limiting capacity in some of our establishments. And I remember I called the previous health officer who had retired and asked her about her experience in issuing orders and how, you know, she had approached that. And she said, well, I've never had to do that. So it's not something that we as health officers do on a regular basis. Obviously, it's for an emergency, a public health emergency kind of situation. But I put those orders in place, and then the state started issuing their statewide orders. And so that, I sort of backed off in terms of the local, because at that point, the statewide orders also covered Washtenaw County. They covered all counties in the state. And then afterwards, there have been some additional local orders that I have put in place. But at this time, the last order was rescinded on the 28th of February for our K-12 schools for masks and quarantine and isolation. So we don't currently have any local orders in place. And I hope that the conditions continue so that we don't need to go back to those measures.
Jimena, is there anything that you would have done differently looking back on it? Hindsight is always 20/20.
Well, I think it was, as you mentioned, and having been health officer for about 5 months when this started, I think it was incredibly, I didn't have time to sort of do a lot of foundational work that I wanted to do. And I think that for me, what has been really, really important, and that I think we have, you know, we have learned along the way, is, you know, following the data in terms of looking at our community members, our population, our neighborhoods that are most impacted, and ensuring that we are doing everything possible to get resources and services to those neighborhoods. And we started doing that early on, but I think that that was something that we learned just the importance of even more along the way. And that really, just like every other kind of work that we do at the health department, our emergency preparedness and emergency response really needs to be driven by health equity.
At the Power of the Purse event, where you were honored as Woman of the Year, your dear mom spoke. Tell me about her.
Oh, my mom is an amazing woman. I felt that it was, in addition to just being so honored to be named Woman of the Year, it was so fitting because, you know, United Way and Power of the Purse, that event, they do so much to support women in our county, women who are single mothers, women who experience financial instability. And I had those experiences growing up, and I think about the strength that my mother had to raise four kids on her own, to be so far from her family in Chile, and yet to instill just incredible, incredible values in us, as her children and her family. And most importantly, I think really the work that she has done that is advancing the rights of women, and working to, you know, working on social justice issues, whether it was in Chile or here in our community. She really was an amazing role model for me and for all of us that have the pleasure of calling her mama.
Amena Lovelock is a graduate of Ann Arbor Huron High School. Were you born here or were you born in Chile? I can't remember what your mother said.
I was not. I was the only one of my siblings. I'm the youngest of four. I was the only one of my siblings born in the United States. But I actually was born, and I hate to even say it out loud, I was born in Columbus, Ohio.
After you graduated Huron High School, where did you go from there?
I went to the University of Michigan. And again, I, you know, that was a time when I think the University of Michigan and college in general was much more affordable. Paid my way through college, worked every summer and during the school year at Jacobson's, if you remember Jacobson's.
Indeed.
Started there when I was in high school, and they were wonderful. They found me a job every year. And after graduating from the University of Michigan, took a year off and then moved to Boston. And went to graduate school in Boston.
And what are your degrees in?
Well, at the University of Michigan, I majored in English, thinking that I was going to go to law school. I changed my mind, obviously. And then in Boston, I went to Boston College and got my master's degree in social work.
I can't say enough about your staff. They have been incredible, and in particular, Susan Ringler Cerniglia. Many of my listeners know her very well, because I think throughout this entire pandemic, she has been on every single week, if not more times, and has been a steady guide for all of us as well. Obviously, you are a wonderful mentor to those that work for you there. Tell me a little bit about the goals you have for your department now coming out of the pandemic, and where do we go from here as a community?
Well, first of all, I couldn't agree more. The team at the Washtenaw County Health Department is amazing, and as hard as this has been, they have made my job easier by just being so dedicated and so capable and committed. So yes, they are wonderful, and I'm really grateful to have that team. Oh, and I'm sorry, my light went off.
That's okay.
Let me move it back on. Sorry.
Right, that's okay.
We have these energy saving motion detection lights, so apologies for that. So I think, you know, as we look to the health department kind of now that we're in a better place with COVID, I won't say we're beyond COVID, of course. I think, first of all, we really want to focus on providing the public health services that we know many people have gone without during this pandemic. We know that we have a lot of children who are behind on their immunizations. And so we want to make sure that we help catch them up, that they have the immunizations they need to protect themselves from other vaccine preventable illnesses, avoid other outbreaks. And we also know that we have other kinds of programs that we want to get out to the community through our mobile health RV. We bought that last year, and it's been great to help us with our outreach with COVID vaccines. But we know that it's really important that we get out to all areas of the county to provide immunizations and lead testing and other kinds of nutrition and health promotion services. So really looking forward to that. And then also we're looking to expand our community health worker network. We're very fortunate that the county just approved additional funding for the health department through the American Rescue Plan Act. And so we want to expand the network of community health workers that work in neighborhoods around the county to really ensure that people have access to the services that they need and work on building community resiliency. So looking forward to that. Another area that we're hoping to start working on is really the connection between climate change and public health and how we can prepare for those changes that we know are happening and will continue to happen, and that will have health impacts, and that we're already seeing have health impacts when we see flooding and other kinds of climate change that's happening in our county. So really looking forward to being able to focus on some of those other things that I had originally wanted to work on with the team when I started.
A lot more work to be done. And one thing is for certain, if people didn't know before, they certainly know now what the role of our Washtenaw County Health Department is. Amena Lovelock, she is our Woman of the Year, named by the United Way of Washtenaw County, our health officer at the Washtenaw County Health Department. You're listening to The Lucy Ann Lance Show on Ann Arbor's Talk Station 1290 WLBY.